Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for adding one more day into our life and giving us this opportunity to come to your holy sanctuary and worship you, Lord. Lord, we are weak and fragile. We seek your strength. Father, we ask you to fill us with the power of your Spirit. Empower us with the power of your word. Lord, you speak to us through your word this morning and help us to your word, obey your word in every days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning and warm welcome again to our morning worship today. For our short reflection during this Lenten season, please turn with me to the gospel portion that was this morning, the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Again, verse 14 and 15. Then Jesus, filled with the power of Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Luke chapter 4 is one of the familiar passages for every one of us. We often read this passage during the Lenten season. And this incident happened soon after Jesus' baptism in Jordan by John the Baptist. Till that day, Jesus was known around the Galilee as a Jewish young man, son of a Jewish carpenter Joseph. That's all. That's what his identity was. In the time of his baptism, his identity was completely changed. In chapter 3, verse 22, there we read, a voice came down from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." It was a public proclamation of Jesus' ministry and the purpose for which he was sent to this world. And his identity was completely changed. He has become the Son of God from the title of Son of Joseph Carpenter. And soon after this incident happened, and there we read the Holy Spirit descending from the heaven in the form of the dove and all things we read in chapter 3. Soon after that, it is written, the Spirit led him to the wilderness. So why Jesus was led to the wilderness instead of he was led to the Palestinian villages and towns to continue to start his new mission, new ministry, to preach, teach, and heal? He was anointed at his baptism. The voice from the heaven confirmed that he is the Son of God. And soon after that, he was sent to the wilderness. So here, the scripture reveals a fact, a truth. When we read from beginning from Genesis to Revelation, we look into the life of all the biblical leaders, the biblical characters who gave tremendous leadership in the life of Israel. They all were trained by God. So it's a fact that whenever God chose someone to partner with his mission, God himself trains them to stand firm and sustain in their given mission. You see the life of Moses, one of the great leaders the world has ever seen, Moses. He was trained in the wilderness for long 40 years. See, it was not a short time. 40 years he was in the wilderness, tending the father-in-law's flock. And God was training him. God was molding his character from an aggressive man to a meek person to take over the leadership of Israel, to deliver them from the bondage of Pharaoh. God trained him in the wilderness. A couple of weeks back, we learned from the life of Joseph. He also was trained. He was sold by his own brothers. He was a caretaker in Potiphar's family in Egypt. And he had to spend years in prison before he was assigned as the prime minister of Egypt, the second in command after Pharaoh. He was trained by God. See the life of the prophets. They were trained in different ways. The disciples were trained. The Paul was trained. So whenever God calls someone for his mission, he trained them to stand firm, to continue their mission. And here, Jesus was sent to the wilderness. It was a kind of training. God was training his son to take up the new responsibility, the new mission. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 15, there we see three temptations. Temptation of physical need, temptation of power, position, and possession, and the temptation of false spirituality. And these three temptations are closely associated with the human life, human nature. And Jesus had to face all these three temptations. The first one, temptation of the physical need. Verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Because the devil knew that Jesus ate nothing. He ate nothing at all during those 40 days in the wilderness. He was in fasting and praying. And now he is coming out of the wilderness and he is hungry. So here the devil is tempting him with his necessary, immediate need. Knowing that he is hungry after 40 days of fasting, here the devil looks so kind, so caring, so good, asking Jesus, putting a very humble request before him, command this stone to become a loaf of bread, because Jesus, you look so weak and fragile. I understand you are hungry. It's very important to restore your health. So you just command these stones to become a loaf of bread. And devil knows hunger is one of the serious feelings that no one can easily withstand. Isn't it? There is an advertisement on the TV saying that, no, if you are hungry, then you will become another person. Vishanna ningal, ningalallada agum. There is a... It's a very serious feeling, hunger. And devil knew it well, and he said, you just ask, you command these stones. See, the devil knows how, when, and where to hook you. And devil knows our weaknesses more than we know our weaknesses. And he knows how to trap you in our weaknesses. How to trap you in your weaknesses. He's very cunning. He's approaching Jesus with very immediate need. So no one can blame Satan for that. You know? It's an immediate need for Jesus. While reading this scripture portion, I was reminded of a story I read long back during my school days. It was about a mouse, a little mouse, caught up in a trap. Small in a trap box. In Malayalam, we say it elipetti. Have you ever seen that elipetti? It's a story about mouse. This little mouse was living in a house. He was very clever and cunning. Every day, night, this mouse go to the kitchen and he had his full meal. Ate everything, whatever he wants. And often he came back to his dwelling safely, escaping the long stick of the house owner. The house owner was running after him to hit him, but he was very cunning. He always escaped. And he was living in the house peacefully. One night, the little mouse slowly entered the kitchen and he was surprised to see a little box kept there. He just walked around the box and saw a big piece of coconut, one of his favorite dish. And the little mouse was very happy and was saying to himself, "Oh, what a lovely house owner I have. What a caring house owner I have. He has kept my food, favorite food for me, safe and secure." And he slowly entered into the box and had his first bite on the coconut piece. Suddenly, the box door was shut with a heavy noise. And Raj was saying, "My God, what a wonderful house owner he is. He's very much concerned of my privacy. That's why he made an automatic door to shut so no one can disturb me. I can eat my food." He was very happy. He was eating the whole piece of coconut. He was full and slowly slipped into sleep. The morning he woke up hearing someone opening the door, sound of the door. He saw the house owner coming inside the kitchen. The house owner was very happy to see the little mouse trapped in the box. And he also was jumping up and down. And the mouse thought it was because he made use of all the facilities he arranged for him. The house owner is very happy. And he also smiled at the house owner. The house owner left the room and came back soon with a sack in his hand. He opened the box and slowly flipped the little mouse in the sack. And he was carrying him outside the house. While he was walking, the sack was swinging back and forth. And the mouse was saying, "Oh my God, what a lovely house owner. I always asked my mother to make a cradle for me, but she never did. But this house owner, he made a cradle for me to sleep." And he was brought out of the house. There was a huge rock. And the house owner dashed him against rock. Just before the last breath, the mouse whispered, "Damn it. For this you have made all these arrangements." This was a wonderful story. Exactly the same thing happens with us when Satan knows where to hook us. He will attract us to the sin. Slowly, slowly we will enter the sin and we won't realize till we'll get the hit on our head. We won't understand we are trapped. So we must be very careful of the temptations. Temptation for the physical need. And here, the devil was trying to distract Jesus' focus from his mission. He was sent to this world as bread, a living bread for many. And Satan was asking him to make bread out of a stone. Temptation of the physical need. And second thing, here we notice this temptation of power, position, and possession. Verse 5 to 7, "Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, 'To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours.'" Temptation for money, power, and possession. See, as long as we live in this world, we need money, we need property, possession. There is nothing wrong in having money or anything like that. There is nothing wrong in owning property or possessions. We need that. On his earthly life, even Jesus was in need of money. In Matthew chapter 17, there we read when Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the people were criticizing him. The others were criticizing Jesus and asking his disciples, why your master is not paying tax? Being a Jewish man, he has to pay tax. Why he is not paying tax? And Jesus overheard them criticizing him for not paying tax. And Jesus didn't have money to pay the tax even. You know what he do? He asked Simon, he called Simon, and he said, but so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Jesus also was in need of money on his earthly life. And his whole group, the disciples, that's why he had a treasure with him. Jesus had a treasure with him, isn't it? Who was Jesus' treasurer? Liam. Not Simon. The one who betrayed him. It was Judas Iscariot. He was the treasurer of Jesus. So having money or owning property or possession, it is not a sin. It's blessing of God. But the moment you try to accumulate more, you try to grab more, that is a temptation. Going after money, going after the power, prestige, and possessions, and willing to do anything to grab it, that is temptation. The moment we are enslaved, the desire to accumulate more wealth, we have yielded to the devil's temptation. So we must be very careful about that. Our desire should not be after accumulating more wealth, more money. That is devil's temptation. So I just want to caution you, we must be very careful of the prosperity gospel preaching across the world these days. Many are attracted to that, the prosperity gospel. They preach, they say that if you come to Jesus, then your bank balance will be doubled. You will have multi-storied buildings. You will have the new brand car, this and that. They make all sort of comments like that. Please be careful about that. I was just listening to a video a couple of months back. Through the phone, one person was transferring crores of rupees to somebody's account. You might have watched that video. It's happened in Kerala. So these are things happening in our world. See, we are following Christ, not to accumulate wealth. We are following Christ. We are Christians, not to accumulate wealth. We are following Christ for our eternity because we love him. You should not run after the money. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So beware of the temptation for power, possession, and position in your life. The devil always tempts us with the money, the possession, and possessions. And the third temptation of false spirituality. Verse 9 to 10, then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against stone. Suddenly, the devil changes his whole strategy. And he acts so spiritually here, quoting from the scripture, a wonderful verse from the Psalm 91, verse 12. He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. It's a verse from Psalm 91. So quoting from the scripture, the devil is trying to deceive Jesus as if he is one among the heavenly hosts. So don't be surprised by reading the Satan quoting the Bible verse. The Satan knows more Bible verse than all of us. And the Satan is a good believer even. Believer in quotes, okay? He's a good believer. He believes that Jesus is Son of God. Even many Christians don't even believe that Jesus is Son of God. But Satan believes he is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 28, there we read Jesus was healing a man possessed with demon. And the demons came out of the man and saying, "What do you want with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" The demon is asking to Jesus, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" So Satan knows he is the Son of God. He believes that Jesus is Son of God. He knows the Bible, the scripture, everything he knows. He was trying to deceive, quoting the scripture verse. So beware of the spirituality that you see around in the world where you live. There are so many gatherings, fellowships, churches in the name of the Christ or in the name of gospel or spirituality. Beware of that. You must have the spirit of discernment to know. So we saw three temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness. And how did Jesus confront the devil's temptation? That's very, very important. That is our lesson for today. How did he confront these temptations? There is no shortcuts. There is no shortcut to confront the temptations. The only way to trust in God's word and his promises. Jesus trusts in God's word and his promises. And he repeatedly said, "It is written." It is written in the scripture. One does not live by bread alone. It is written. It is written in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 13. 3, it is written. One does not live by bread alone. Again Jesus said, "It is written. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." It is written in the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13. It is written in the scripture. And again he said, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God in test." Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16. So Jesus confronted these temptations depending on the word of God, the promise of the God. So the only way to resist the devil's temptation is to stand firm in the word of God. That is the only way. As we are in the season of Lent, the Lenten season is a time to immerse deep into the word of God. To make a strong foundation in the word of God. That's the only way we can resist the temptation of the world. Once you have a strong foundation in the word of God, nobody can deceive you. Nobody can fail you. You can stand firm with the power of the word of God. So I wish and pray that during these Lenten days, you would find more time to spend the time with the Word of God, to have a solid foundation in the Word of God, to resist any temptation of the evil, and to live a life worthy of our call. Amen.